And then Big Fatty showed up and sort of ruined the mood.
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online! Yes! Well, hello everyone, it is the Fat One, and this is episode 1016 of the BFO for Thursday the 22th of December 2011. Y'all, coming up on today, say it with me, a little show. Y'all, we have got the 2009 Crema Spectacular. Yes, Big Fatty. Hello, Glovies. Hi, everyone. I hope your Thursday is going well. Y'all, this is a long Crema Spectacular today, and y'all, so I don't have much time to talk to you. Yes, Big Fatty, that's just the way we like it. But y'all, today we have, and y'all, the title is as long as the show itself, How Frosty Claws, the Red-Nosed Drummer Boy, Stole Crema from Tiny Tim. Y'all, I hope you enjoy it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The following program was recorded on an earlier date for presentation at this time.
Today's presentation of How Frosty Claws, the Red-Nosed Drummer Boy, Stole Crema from Tiny Tim is Big Fatty's 2009 giftette to you. Merry Crema!
Throughout time, children have grown up listening to Christmas stories and songs handed down from one generation to another. In the beginning, these highlights of the holidays had a special message or moral to teach children. But as the stories were passed down, changes began to creep in. An embellishment here, an oversight there. Many of the lessons that the original stories taught were confused or simply forgotten over the centuries. Many times because the elders of the family were, well, old, gray, fat, bald, and they couldn't walk. But we loved them anyway. In fact, it was not unusual for characters from original Christmas stories to appear unexpectedly in non-related Christmas stories. Now, take it from me, some of these newer versions were actually quite funny, and sometimes a little too dirty for the little ones. But such is the Christmas, or should I say, Crema, story, which was recently uncovered. This story is unique because it is evidently rewritten on paper every year. It was discovered soaked in what appeared to be reindeer urine at a fortified mansion atop a high woodland hill. In fact, the hill was so high that it appeared to reach the very surface of the sun. So gather the young ones around as we present this year's Crema Spectacular. How Frosty Claws the Red-Nosed Drummer Boy Stole Crema from Tiny Tim. And like many Crema stories, we begin in the middle, at the North Pole on a snowy Crema Eve.
It looks like we may have to cancel Crema from Ironville this year because of that wicked Frosty Claws.
It's okay, Santa. We can all spread the joy of Christmas from our hearts.
For the umpteenth time, it's Crema, not Christmas, you little crutch-carrying asshat.
A single tear rolled down the cheek of Tiny Tim. He wept because this was not the Santa he had come to see. Something or someone had changed Santa. Tiny Tim was the youngest child in his family and had been crippled after announcing that he did not support the views of his crazy family from the great state of Texas. The son of an ambulance driver, he had felt uncomfortable in his swaddling clothes from Sears, Walmart, and the worst of the worst, Ross Dress for Less. Focused on being better than his roots, he put on his favorite Christmas outfit, printed a mysterious Twitty message, and set out down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop, but he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, "Pa-rum-pum-pum-pum." He continued his travels to the town's train station, where he stowed away in a refrigerated car filled with jars of homemade spaghetti sauce and pizza rolls. Little did he know that those items were destined for the fortress home of Frosty Claws, the red-nosed drummer boy. The train traveled many days, stopping only briefly in the towns of Las Vegas, Buellton, and Ventura. At each stop, Tiny Tim would hobble off the train, hoping to find the true Christmas spirit, but everyone felt rejected, as if they were misfit toys. At an unexpected stop near the Hilton Hotel in Scotts Valley, just outside of Felton, California, Tim noticed horrifying skid marks on the road, as if a monstrous mobile mansion had just avoided veering off the roadway. Again, the people at the stores, mom and pop diners, and the automotive garage were zombie-like, appearing to have had all hope drained from their souls. Hearing the train whistle through the giant redwoods, Tiny Tim decided not to stay here either. He crawled into his preferred seat amongst the food items when he noticed a man adding what appeared to be cow patties and overdressed salad to the refrigerated car. He started to ask the rather large man, who appeared to be a Texan based on his girth, where the food was going. But before the question could leave Tim's mouth, the man shouted something about knowing that he was going to sit there. Confused, Tim's spirits continued to fall. Meanwhile, at the North Pole, Santa was worried about fighting off the creature that lived on the woodland hill just outside of Myronville. The giant beast, with its black eye from an unfortunate Super Bowl accident and red nose, compliments of his favorite goose, was intent on disrupting Christmas in the Happy Village, which was filled with music, singing, movie recommendations, gardening, and fresh koi. Vera, as the dreadful beast was referred to in legend, would spend all year long planning on how to steal the Christmas spirit from people. You see, Vera hated humans, all humans, and would annually rise from a drunken stupor and drive his giant motorhome down from the surface of the sun, whilst talking to himself in strange voices and playing drums, slide whistles, and clicking crickets. But each year, Santa, his reindeer, some kid with a blanket and a World War II flying ace would be there to protect Myronville. Santa knew that this year would be tougher than the last. That's because something had happened last year that had made Santa more of a heat miser, a poopy head, if you will. Throughout the year, Mrs. Claus tried everything to get the old Santa back.
Santa, you're not your jolly old self. Old Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, really got to you last year. I don't know what else to do. I've tried over-fibering, a trip to Hermie the Dentist, a night of brown chicken brown cow, with gentleman caller Yukon Cornelius, and nothing has worked.
I know, Mama. I'm trying, but I just can't grasp the Krimma spirit.
And what's with calling it Krimma? You never finished that story, just like the ones you keep repeating about your father's foreskin, some volcano mug, and an asshole singing Moon River. How did these things get in your head?
It's Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, I tell you. I've become cold-hearted, just like the Winter Warlock.
Tiny Tim knew that his only chance to regain his Christmas spirit was to visit Santa at the North Pole. The refrigerated car was very cold, and so when the train stopped in a small town in Alaska, Tiny Tim wandered into a small consignment shop to warm up. As he looked around, he noticed that many of his hand-me-downs were hanging on the racks.
Wow, there really is some place worse than Ross Dress for Less.
Oh, you betcha! And I can see Russia from my house!
With the strength of the abominable snowman, Tim hurried from the store. He had never been so terrified in his life. The train departed, Wasilla, with the sounds of gunshots and helicopters in the distance, and the terrifying words, "You betcha! You betcha! You betcha!" stuck in his head. Meanwhile, back in Myronville, the townspeople had erected a nativity on private property without using city funds or requiring anyone to assist in its construction or decoration. And this was the one thing that Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, hated most about Myronville. In fact, this year, he had planned to spray bloody urine all over the stable to kill the Christmas spirit. Now, you may ask yourself why Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, hated Christmas so much. Well, secretly, he loves it. But he was traumatized as a child when an old joke-playing man fell on a papier-mâché Christmas tree he was making. While crying his eyes out, he was unable to say Christmas, only getting Crema to come out. And to this day, it's the closest he can get to saying Christmas. But I digress. The train pulled into the North Pole and Tiny Tim exited the refrigerated car. He was so cold that he actually considered going a little further past Myronville and detraining at the Woodland Hill, which was much closer to the sun. But he wanted his spirit lifted, and Santa was the only man who could fill him with the Christmas spirit. And speaking of Christmas spirits, Santa had been hitting the eggnog when Tiny Tim arrived. His patience level was a little low, and the anxiety level of dealing with Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, was pretty high. As high as if he was having to go to the doctor's office.
Well, hello there, young man. Where did you come from?
Hi, Miss Claus. I'm Tiny Tim from Texas. I've traveled a very long way, but have lost what remained of my Christmas spirit during the journey. I was hoping Santa could help with that.
Not likely, my dear. He's very worried about dealing with Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, on Christmas Eve. But if you can help him, perhaps he'll return the favor. Now enjoy some sausage balls and salty nuts whilst I clean up with my cinnamon broom.
The next morning, Christmas Eve day, Santa was preparing for the trip to Myronville. He had started the day looking at birds and hawks from his bedroom window, but those little animals didn't lift his spirits. He met Tiny Tim at breakfast and tried to be jolly, but found himself just getting poopier. Santa eventually excused himself when he noticed that he was browbeating little Tim by making him say Crema and demanding more green tea from Mrs. Claus. But not giving up, Tiny Tim followed Santa into his workshop.
It looks like we may have to cancel Crema from Myronville this year because of that wicked Frosty Claus.
It's okay, Santa. We can all spread the joy of Christmas from our hearts.
For the umpteenth time, it's Crema, not Christmas, you little crutch-carrying asshat.
A single tear ran down Tiny Tim's cheek. But the alarm at Myronville had sounded, and Santa tossed Tiny Tim into his sleigh, and off they flew. While in flight, they met a beagle wearing goggles and a scarf flying on top of a doghouse that had won first prize in a decorating contest. The dog and some kid dressed like a shepherd teamed up to help Santa. Santa arrived in Myronville just as the giant motor mansion was screaming out of control, as if it had no brakes down from the Woodland Hill. Santa, not knowing what to do, placed Tiny Tim in the manger of the Nativity.
Dear Gussie, is there no one who can help?
Tiny Tim suddenly remembered the Twitty he had printed out and handed it to Santa.
What's this?
It's our only chance, Santa. O-T-T-L.
And with that, the World War II flying ace distracted the giant motorhome as Santa leapt into the sleigh and was O-T-T-L. O-T-T-L, you ask? What does that mean? Well, it's an acronym for Off to the Lodge, Kim Beaver's Lodge. Now, knowing everything about everyone, Kim Beaver was plaid clad and holding a wrapped present and ready when Santa arrived. Santa knew that no one would mess with an angry beaver. Meanwhile, back in Myronville, Frosty Claus, the red-nosed drummer boy, had begun sucking the Christmas spirit out of the Myronians.
Where's that Tiny Tim? I must find that good-hearted patron saint and douse him in bloody urine to kill his crema spirit.
Jesus!
What do you mean, Jesus?
Jesus!
Frosty Claus' conscience ran to the nativity and started playing his drumsticks on the manger. Frosty Claus realized that Tiny Tim was wrapped in swaddling clothes from Ross Dress for Less and lying in the manger. With an angry roar, he leapt towards the nativity, but he had to stop to clear his throat.
One moment, please.
And in that moment of the slightest of pauses, Santa landed with the omniscient Kim Beaver, who immediately jumped into action and presented Frosty Claus with a wrapped gift. Seeing the presents, his conscience immediately ran over and distracted him, long enough for Kim Beaver to rescue Tiny Tim and hop back in Santa's sleigh.
Jesus! Is it for me?
No, it says to the impotent gourmet cook.
Jesus.
Vera gazed at the intricately decorated package and began to slowly peel away the paper. A well of emotion started in his frozen little heart and manifested itself in a waterfall of frozen tears. He blubbered uncontrollably and removed from the box a gigantic cloth object and immediately put it over his girth. It was a triple extra-large caftan, bedazzled with the design from his childhood papier-mâché tree.
How did you know it was exactly what I always wanted for crema? Crisma! Christmas! It's what I always wanted for Christmas! Christmas, Christmas!
Kim Beaver smiled and looked at Santa, and they both winked at Tiny Tim. The sleigh lifted off from Myronville as the residents welcomed Frosty Claus to their Christmas Day celebration. He was so filled with the Christmas spirit that he sent his conscience to the mobile mansion to retrieve the homemade spaghetti sauce, pizza rolls, cow patties, and overdressed salad which had just arrived on the train. Filled with the spirit of Christmas themselves, the Myronians shouted at the top of their lungs with a joyful noise, "No thanks, we're not really hungry." But Vera was so engorged with Christmas spirit that he thought of Doris Day, ignored the Myronians, and waved to Santa, Kim Beaver, and Tiny Tim. And they all heard Tiny Tim say, as Santa drove out of sight,
"You know, next year, Kim, can you just mail her gifts to Post Office Box 561, Woodland Hills, California, 91365? Jesus, I don't have to go through this shit again."
Gassiola. Hope you enjoyed that one as much as Big Fatty did. Y'all, that may be my favorite one of all. And y'all, special thanks to that Daniel Biba and to Fairy Princess Holly and to Arthur and to Conscience, and let's see, there was somebody. Oh, Dr. Stone was in there, and was there anyone else? I don't know. Anyway, but y'all, the one that really needs to be thanked, I can't, you know, if I were to forget to thank Kim Beaver, oh, Big Fatty, you got it in just in time.
You can leave a comment on the website at BigFattyOnline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@BigFattyOnline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438, and give me your good gosh and gay.
Me!
Thank you.
been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.